This is Drive with Anna Vido on ABC Radio Canberra.
On ABC Radio Canberra this afternoon, we know, a very talented artistic community in this part of the world, making really everything it's possible to make, including graphic novels and comics. Now, if you conjure an image of a comic in your mind, chances are, I don't want to assume anything much, but chances are there's some kind of superhero involved. We tend to associate comics with fiction, with fantastical stories. But what about non-fiction? Why not use the medium to tell true stories too? In fact, that is the specialty of Canberra artist Stuart McMillan, who is currently working, among many things, through the final installment of his non-fiction comic about the last town in North America to get television. Stuart, hello, how are you?
Hey Anna, thanks for having me.
This is very exciting and congratulations on the grant that you've just won from the ACT government to help you finish this project.
Thank you, yeah. So this is a project I've been working on from my own initiative for a number of years. I don't even want to think how far back it's been that I've been working on this, but I was rewarded with an Australia Council grant earlier in the year to continue this work. And then today the announcement is that Arts ACT has actually given me a subsequent grant to fund, hopefully, the final chapter of this story.
The town without television.
That's
right. What a fascinating story. How did you stumble across the fact that there was a story to the last town in North America to get TV?
The long story short is I'm an avid reader of nonfiction books, and there was a particular book that was popular in the early 2000s called Bowling Alone, which is about the decline of social participation in North America, but also applicable to most of the rest of the world. And the author, Robert Putnam, actually included this as a very juicy anecdote in the middle of his book about a town that the story is most of the rest of North America got television all at once in the 1950s. And this particular town in the Canadian Rockies was a sizable community that just happened to be surrounded by a mountain range that prevented the signals from getting in. It was a town, interestingly, from a scientific perspective, that was identical in so many demographic ways to other towns in the country. And my researcher, who I'm following in this comic, actually heard that they're about to build a broadcasting tower next to the town. And she realized, well, this is a perfect way to do a natural experiment to see the before and after impact of television on the community. So she rushed in 1971 and did the first lot of experiments, and then came back in 2 years later and did the second lot of experiments to sort of see how both the individual mindset and attitudes of the townsfolk were either different or similar beforehand, and also the way that the community interactions and sports participation and that sort of thing changed after TV came to town.
Now, of course, we want people to go and read The Town Without Television, but I wonder if you can give us some of the highlights, maybe. I mean, what did you find?
Yeah, well, if anyone is listening to this and did want to have a look, I've actually published the first two chapters at townwithouttelevision.com, so you can read along at home. But yeah, so there were two main streams of work that she was looking at. The first was about the anything to do with the individual. So particularly the reading ability of children's, the creativity of children, the creativity of adults, and some of those mental things. In general, she found that the town was above average before television came in compared to the rest of Canada. So the kids were reading at a much higher level before television came in. They had better creativity scores. They were sort of persevering for longer on all these. Basically, the researchers in one experiment were giving the kids these unsolvable problems, and so therefore the purpose of that experiment was not to see whether the person would solve the experiment or not. It was how much they would persevere and try and solve it. And in the era before television, they'd just keep on trying for a really protracted amount of time. But after TV came in, it was almost like their attention spans dropped off and they kind of gave up at an earlier stage.
I feel like I'm hearing my parents' voice in my head just feeling very vindicated by everything they ever told me about watching too much television. It sounds like actually it has been having a bit of an impact on us all.
Yeah, and so that's the first line of research that I'm looking at in the comic. And the second one is about the impact of television on the community. So things like participation in dances and community activities like town hall meetings and sport participation. And the way that they were doing this research, they were comparing this one town that they dubbed No-Tel because it didn't have TV against another community that had one TV channel called Unitel. That was the nickname that they gave it. Mm. And then another town that had four channels, which they called Multitel. So it was like a three-way experiment. And basically, before television came to No-Tel, they were really participating in sports at an amazingly high rate, to the extent that the senior citizens of No-Tel were participating in sport at a greater level than the children of Multitel, which goes to show you that. And then once again, television was just the leveler. When it came in, it just dropped the participation to a level either at the Canadian average or even below the Canadian average.
What a fascinating story. You're listening to Stuart McMillan. He's a Canberra comic artist of The Town Without Television, which you can see online, townwithouttelevision.com. He's just picked up an ACT government grant to finish this work. But why this work in this way, Stuart? What do you like about comics as a form, graphic novels as a form, to tell these kinds of nonfiction, these true stories?
I just love comics as a medium because it's the combination of words and images that allow me as a storyteller to tell this story in a very concise way. It's a very economical way of storytelling for the reading experience, because instead of sprawling out hundreds of these black little alphabetic squiggles that we call letters and words on the page, I can have the artwork of my comics do a lot of the work. And in case anyone's listening to this and they're trying to imagine my drawing style, it's not as cartoony as, you know, a Walt Disney or a Garfield comic. It's drawn in a relatively realistic way, although maybe a little bit like a Tintin comic, I suppose, in terms of simplistic.
And also using sort of black and white and colour in quite interesting ways in these comics too, both in when you're choosing to use them and when you're choosing not to.
Yeah, so I'm literally a self-taught artist, so I am coming from a black and white tradition. And then at one stage I thought, hey, let's put a little pop of colour here and there. And I'm still largely steeped in that monochrome black and white tradition. But yeah, choosing to have pops of colour, whether it's the Canadian flag in this comic or I've got the orange broadcasting beams emanating from the broadcasting tower to sort of signal the
signal.
The introduction. Yeah, signal the signal. Yeah.
Stuart, you mentioned the researcher whose work you were basing your work on. Did she know that you were doing this?
Look, I began this work towards the end of her life, and I wasn't able to communicate this to her before she died in the last couple of years.
Oh, but what a shame.
Her family and her colleagues really loved my work, and a very flattering thing that they did when she died. Her name was Professor Tanis Macbeth from the University of British Columbia. And when she unfortunately died, in the obituary that they put in the newspaper, one of the final lines was, Tanis Macbeth's work is now being chronicled by comics artist Stuart McMillan from Australia, some random guy from the other side of the world. And they said, in lieu of flowers when she died, please make a contribution to Stuart's crowdfunding campaign. And I've had, I think it's $7,000 or $8,000 of donations from readers who have donated in her memory to allow me the time to do this project. As you probably can imagine, Anna, it's a very, I've chosen one of the most labor intensive mediums to work in. At one stage, because I've done over 1,000 hours of work on this comic so far, and I'm only probably 2/5 of the way through the project. And at one stage I estimated that for every second that a reader spends looking at my comic, I've spent an hour doing the work. So 10 seconds of reading my work is 10 hours of me in the studio. I'm based at the Gorman Arts Centre in Braddon. So
very intensive. What was the reaction of her family when they've seen your work?
They They loved it, yeah. So it's almost 50 years since she was doing this work in the first place. And I think it's just, they find it so special that it is living on. Not only, you know, it may be expected that this scientific work might live on in a particular field of scientific research, but
sit on a library shelf somewhere.
Yeah, I'm really trying to make this an accessible comic that's it's existing in online format at the moment. I'm hoping it'll be on the bookshelves a bit further down the track. And it's just a perfect, it's a perfect experiment to have done in the first place, and it's a perfect untapped example for me to turn into a nonfiction comic like this.
It's so interesting and it's beautiful, I have to say as well. So go and check it out. You can find it townwithouttelevision.com, the Town Without Television, and its artist, Stuart McMillan, talking to us about it this afternoon. Stuart, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about it.
You're welcome, Anna.
Thank you very much.